I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.
June 24, 1947, Northwest Washington State. Civilian pilot Kenneth Arnold is flying his small aircraft near Washington's Mount Rainier. It's a clear evening, and Arnold sees something in the sky he assumes is a new military aircraft, this being at the start of the Cold War. However, as he gets closer, he realizes it's not of this world. He sees 9 blue glowing objects flying at an estimated 1,700 miles per hour in a V formation. Arnold reports the sighting, describing the object's motion similar to a saucer if you skip it across water. The media pick up on the phrase, and now the common term flying saucer is born. The military confirms that no exercises took place in the area, before later dismissing Arnold's claims as an hallucination. Just weeks later, the most famous UFO encounter ever occurs. Roswell.
Welcome to Alien Nation, the show about extraterrestrials and UFOs, asking the question, are we alone? In Alien Nation, I talk to other Earthlings about their otherworldly encounters, and we love hearing your stories, so please get in touch. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. Joining us today is someone who's had an amazing face-to-face encounter with an ET. Welcome to Alien Nation, Arfon Jones.
Hello, how are you?
So you have got an interesting story to tell.
Yeah, well, it's happened. It's a very unusual story because people tend to not speak out about these things if something, you know, above the ordinary happens to them.
Yes.
But I was basically driving my car on a lovely weekend in May 2016, and it was totally unexpected.
Yeah.
Some people believe that there's UFOs out there, that there's ETs, there's all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I was basically, to me, it was a bit like winning the lottery. That's the way I felt after it, because it's changed my life in such an amazing way. Because
did you believe in ETs and aliens beforehand?
Yeah, I can go into that, give you a little bit of detail about that, because when this happened to me on that day, I then kind of looked back at it and I see the things that have happened to me over the years.
Oh.
I couldn't believe the significance of certain things, you know.
Yeah.
But on the day that this happened to me, I was driving. It was a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah.
And I just came around the corner and there it was standing in the middle of the road with its back towards me, kind of turning, you know, kind of walking. And to believe it or not, the whole thing's, it happened, you know, and it had a tail. And the way I can describe the tail to you, it was a bit like a rat's tail. It had ridges, because the way, as you were coming towards, the way I look at that was, at the time, you're coming towards it. The only thing I could do at that point of time was to look it up and down about 5 or 6 times from head to toe. And I took it all in, and the colour of it was a bit like, it was like a blue-grey.
Oh, my goodness.
A very dark blue. And the body itself, it stood tall like a human. Well, I say like a human, but like a person stands, yeah? It had a very tall thing.
And what was its face like?
A bit like a grey, like an ET, basically. That's the way it is.
Oh.
Describe it, you know.
Yeah.
As I was coming up to it, it turned. As I was coming up, obviously my car was a noisy diesel car at the time, and I was driving up. And as I came, I was getting closer to it, and I didn't know what to do. I was shaking, my whole body was trembling, my heart was just racing. And at that point in time, I thought, I'm not going to see my kids again. I'm not going to see anybody again. You know, there's that fear of fright goes through your mind, and you're like panic. And some people say to me in work, why did you not knock it down? You could have had that evidence of, you know, there's something else there, you know.
I think you're too shocked, aren't you, really, to suddenly...
There's a reason why I didn't foot to the floor, because I don't find any joy in harming anything. Okay, no matter how small it is, no matter how big it is. And when you actually see something like that, you're going, if I do hit this, it could get out of the way and harm me. It could take me and I'll never see. And I have to think of what about my family? They'll miss you as well. There's all sorts going through your mind. And what if you do hit that? What about the other people that are around you? You know, you don't want to upset something, you know, if you know what I'm saying.
And did it look at you in your face as well?
Yes. See, I've spoken about it to quite a few people, done interviews on it. And as I came up to it, I put the brakes on. And I was going, there's nothing much I can do here. Just slow down and hopefully it'll just, you know, move away or something. But as I came towards it, it just turned around slowly. And believe it or not, it stood proud, as I say.
Oh, really?
It stood straight up in front of me. I don't know. See, the way it was standing, it just like stood right up in front of me. Its arms down in front of it, you know, at its side.
Yeah.
And then as I came that close, really close to it, it leant to its side, looked at me straight through the windscreen of the car. I looked into its eyes and I could see every single line on its forehead.
Wow.
Every line on its face.
Wow.
And I looked directly into its black eyes. And some people say to me, why do you speak about such a thing? It's because it happened to me, you know?
Yeah.
And I went to see people. And there was people talking to me afterwards. I was going, what am I going to do about this? I had to speak to somebody and I had to get it out there, you know?
Yeah.
I had to go and see somebody. So I went to see a few people, spoke to them. I sent an email off to a government department. No reply. I thought, no, they are being silent because they don't want me to talk about this. You know, they don't want it coming out. So what's the best way of dealing with something like this? Yeah. Is to be quiet. Don't answer the person back. You know, hopefully it'll go away.
So you were really scared when you saw this. And I wonder where it was from.
Some people say a lot of different, you know, things to me about it.
Yeah, it's sort of, maybe it's sort of, gosh, I'd never heard of a sort of a grey that's tall but has a tail. That's really, and walking along the road.
That's the way I describe it, but because you can see a picture of a grey as in its face, you know.
Yeah.
What people think a grey looks like. That's the way I describe its face, you know. Because to me, it was just an ET, you know, just it's an extraterrestrial, something not of this world, you know. And
was it nice to look at or was it scary to look at? I mean, its face.
The face didn't look that scary, no.
Okay.
The body itself, the tail kind of made you a bit scared. You're thinking of a, you know, reptile or something quite powerful, you know.
It's like bit like a reptilian come grey.
It made me think of I don't know, the body itself was, it had three muscles to the top part, you know, the body itself.
Oh, yeah?
It was totally rounded, like, you know, like we have a chest, a man has a chest, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, you have a sternum and a muscle either side, but this thing had one muscle going right round its front, you know, totally flat. And then the middle part was another muscle, and then there was another muscle at the bottom, but it narrowed right down. You could probably put your hands around its, you know, its hips, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how small it was. But the legs were really muscular.
You didn't see a craft anywhere around there.
But see, there was a photograph I got off Google Earth, and it shows a craft, like a disc thing, in the sky above the field, directly across
from where,
it was, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
But that photograph was it was on Google Earth from May 2016, the same month I'd seen it.
Oh, my goodness.
And then but the thing was, see, with that story, I checked it then a year later just to have a look, you know, at the whole thing.
Mm.
It had been deleted. The sky had been changed to a grey, to clouds, where you actually could see that craft, you know, that.
So they changed it.
Nah. It was changed, yeah. That's just something I have. I have the photo. You know, I did an interview there with Kerry Casty.
Mm.
And those kind of photos are on there, you know.
Yeah.
I can tell you this, and I don't talk about it much, but I did talk about it in the interview I did with her.
Mm.
After that happened to me,
mm.
I woke up one morning. It was the weekend, and I had yellow marks on my arms. And there's a photo online of it where an entry point is in the arm and a bruise. And I woke up with pain, you know, pain in my arms, you know.
Yeah. So you were actually abducted because you saw him.
Well, something happened.
Yeah, you know. Definitely.
There's something really, you know, some people say to me they don't like me talking about it, but I said, well, it's a fact, you know.
Yeah.
It's a fact in my life, and it's just that, that's it. I can say this to you. My mum came out then and spoke to me after I decided to go public about this. And she said, I asked her, there's something she told me when I was younger, when we were kids, I remember, that we were travelling to my auntie's house, mum's sister's house, in a place called Bwlch y Groes in Wales. And we could remember, my mum, there was something about we were driving, and my mum and dad had said, what was that? And we'd asked as kids at the time, what was that, mum? We knew something had happened, you know. We were sitting in the back, three kids. She'd seen something go across the road, and she called it something white, okay?
Yeah.
A white being or something. So they came home, and we remember them talking about it, and said, and I was asking her then, this year, what was that? You know, what was it? And she'll tell me it was something not, they didn't want to talk about it at the time. So, you know, years ago, things have been the odd thing, but people don't like talking about them, do they, you know?
What happened after you saw this entity? Did it just run off, or did it just carry on walking?
On that weekend in May 2016, when I came across that on the road, it was in front of me for a good couple of seconds, you know, because I looked it up and down, and it came right up to it. And at that point, when it leant forward and looked at me through the windscreen, it just pulled the grass aside with its left hand, you know, facing forward.
Yeah.
I looked at its hand. It put the hand in the grass, pushed it aside, and looked at me again, and then just went into the, you know, through the hedge.
Yeah.
And I have never seen, do you know the way I describe it? The way you watch something in a movie and something shifts like warp speed, okay? That's the way I would describe it.
Oh, really?
One minute you see it. Do you know, a person starts running, you can see him move, yeah?
Mm. So this one just flipped from one sort of, warp speed.
It's as if it would have went into like a, as if you could say portal or like a warp speed thing or something, you know, just boom. One minute I could see it. But see, once that flash, it just went. My heart just went, oh, my God, you know.
What have I just seen, yeah?
I just put my foot on the accelerator and just drove down the road. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, I hope it doesn't come after me. I just drove on and went straight to get my kids.
Gosh, that is really scary. I should think anybody would be scared to see something like that and experience that.
I went on the phones. Well, I picked my kids up from their mum's house and straight back. I rang my parents, spoke to everybody I know, because, you know, if you see a light in the hedge, if you see a light in the sky, you can go, oh yeah, I've seen that, but people will just go, okay, whatever, it's just a flash of light, you know.
Yeah,
but in my case, no, it's like seeing somebody stand out in the middle of the road here, you know. You've seen it, you know, and it's there, and it'll stay with me forever.
And not many people get a look at an entity like you did.
I can tell you this. Yes, I've seen that, but see, as soon as that happened to me, I've sat down, okay, and I've written things down that, you know, looking back over the years, you know, what the things that have happened, you know, and I can tell you, there's been quite a few things that's really happened, you know, that are quite interesting, if you know what I'm saying. I can remember once.
Yeah.
When I was married then, and the partner at the time, and we were sitting in the living room, and she says to me, what was that? She's seen the shadow, but I was directly looking at the door that leads into the kitchen, and I seen this young woman in a grey dress with her hair tied back in a plait drift through into the kitchen.
Really? Gosh.
you know, that I'm not scared of talking about it because it happened.
So that's more like paranormal, isn't it, really?
So that's the down the line of ghosts, yes.
Yes.
That happened. And I'll tell you another thing. In the same house, I was going into the bedroom. There was nobody else in the house. And I went to the bedside cabinet to get a wallet out, you know, just to get something, you know, get the wallet.
Yeah.
And as I went to pull that open, the light switch went off. And I was going, oh, who is that? What is that, you know?
Yeah.
And I went up to the light switch and I turned it on again. So it wasn't a case of, you know, oh, that switch just wasn't quite on, right? You know?
Yeah.
It flicked off.
So somebody flicked it off. So that's in the same house then?
No, well, that was in the same house as I seen the ghost, yes.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is there have been things happening over the years, but then when that happened to me in Taniuki Road, that's major. Like, okay, it's totally different. You know what I mean? It's not down the line of a ghost. Do you know what I'm saying?
So you're very, obviously very sort of open to see all this stuff. You know, because not many people see ghosts and experience things like that. You obviously are sort of... You know, you can see it better than other people.
Yeah, the thing is, it's one of those things. It's like I haven't asked to see those things over the years. It's just it happens, and I could go for a period of time and not see anything, and then out of the blue, it's just, you know, where did that come from? It's that unexpected time, you know. It's like one of those things now. I've got a dash cam put on the car now, you know. I find it having it there, it's not for the reasons of having an accident. It's just in case I see one again.
Exactly, yeah. You should write it all down, actually, because it'd be a great story. I mean, you know, like a great book.
It is, because that's what I'm doing at the moment, you know.
Oh, you are?
Putting bits down here, writing way back what has been happening.
Yeah,
putting it together. You know?
Yeah, that would be really interesting because, you know, you'd be able to see where it all started in the car with your parents and how it just progressed until...
You know, I mean, there's been small things that have happened over the years and people look at these things and go, no, there's an explanation for that. But
yeah,
from the catalogue of things that have happened to myself, I can safely say to people some of those things that people think that there's nothing in it, it's quite, you know, they're quite big things.
Yeah, I think that's amazing about the entity with the tail. I think that's fantastic. You should draw him so we could sort of really imagine what he's like.
Yeah, I got a really good picture done of it, because I've done one for an interview I did before online, but that's just my drawing of it, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that would be interesting to see. I would like to see that.
I believe I could possibly be speaking at a conference or two next year. So I'll let you know about that.
Oh, definitely. If you come to Manchester, we'll be up there in Manchester at the UFO conference.
I was at that conference this year.
Oh, you were? We were there.
Oh, were you?
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
I was over there.
Oh, my goodness.
I was over there this year on my own. But see, last year I was over there and... The BBC came to talk to me because they'd heard about my story.
Yeah.
You know, about what had happened to me on Taniuki Road. And they just basically talking to me and they said they wanted me to appear in a programme on BBC Two Northern Ireland.
Oh,
and they interviewed me on that, on a programme called The Panic Room.
Yeah.
And that's been on BBC Two NI twice now.
Oh, fantastic. Because
with a group, NI UFO group, which I was a part of back then, and they came on a night watch with, I went with them on a night watch then, and they just interviewed me out, basically up in the mountains, in pitch black.
Oh, goodness. Have you talked to MUFON with this story?
No, I haven't. You know, this story, I haven't given it to the, is it people report these stories to MUFON? See, Maybe I should.
Yeah, I think you should. I've spoken to a couple of people from there and they are really, really lovely and very, very eager for anybody to come forward so that they can hear their stories. And because lots of people that when they have been abducted suffer post-traumatic stress afterwards.
I was finding it very hard at the very beginning, the first, I would say, first 2 or 3 weeks. I was struggling with it because the one thing I was finding on with my left arm where the puncture mark, like a needle had gone in,
yeah,
it's very, very painful. Stingy painful.
Yeah, you were definitely abducted, I'm sure of that.
You know, there's, you know, I can send, I could show you that arm, you know, what has happened at the time, because I took a photo. I tried taking a photo of my forearms just where there was finger marks, and you could see them like yellow marks on the morning. But those photos wouldn't come out as good as what the actual, there was a line but the size of my finger on my arm, you know, where the puncture mark was. That was quite upsetting, you know.
That's where MUFON are so helpful.
Mm. It's one of those things, I felt I couldn't go and talk to the GP with it.
No, I don't think that they wouldn't understand that.
You couldn't, like, you know, it's just one of those things you had to try and keep it yourself and find somebody that understands, so what could you do with it?
Yeah, it can be very distressing. I've heard it can be very distressing when you have encounters like that. So, yeah, well, MUFON is there for you if you need it.
You know, it's one of those things I'm going, some people would say they would never want to meet the likes of that again, but there's a part of me that
you want to,
That's an unusual thing to say. But because it didn't harm me, it was there, and I came so close to it, and you know, looked directly into its eyes, and whoa, away it went.
What would you do if you saw it for a second time? Would you do anything different? Roll down the window and say hi?
I would walk up to it. Yes.
Yeah.
That's something to say, like.
Yeah.
If it just stood in front of me, I would walk directly up to it. Yes.
Yeah.
And put my hand, and then I don't know. Maybe it might go wrong.
Yeah, you never know. And make a gesture of peace, I should think, and see what happens.
Whether it would turn out nice, I don't know.
But, yeah. Yeah, you never know. I don't think they're here to harm us. I think they're just here as tourists.
Yeah, Joe, I can tell you this. I've been out with my son and daughter. Well, my daughter was with me in the car once, and I've got footage of it. We were sitting at a junction, and this light was in the sky, and it was getting brighter and brighter, you know, a white light.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sparkling. It was getting bigger and bigger, and then it just went to nothing, just went out.
Yeah.
Then that light then started moving down a bit, but it kind of dimmed out to nothing, and then it pulsed across us, you know, in front of us, and then went dimmed out to nothing, and then pulsed again and disappeared. And at that point, I throw my phone down. My daughter's really upset, and I drive off. And there's been another occasion. We were out in the car, and I decided to slow down because I could see this light in the distance on the right hand side of me.
Yeah.
In the way in distance, you could think it was a star, but then I says there's something strange about that there, and we watched it, and what happened to it? Not a word of a lie, it went directly straight up. I'm talking straight up to the sky, and it didn't stop. It just went up in a straight line, and then goodbye. It was gone.
Yeah. Yeah, they can move pretty fast, those UFOs.
And then, and you just need to, not everybody has a camera worth about $2,000 that's very low light that can capture it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the phones definitely don't capture it. And that's what you usually have on you, isn't it? You have your phone.
I've got a couple of photographs when I was last out on a night watch. And one of them is very, very interesting.
Do you go out on night watches and watch the sky?
Yeah, see, the group I was with before, the Northern Ireland UFO Society, I'm quite friendly with a couple of them.
Yeah.
Which aren't so, they're not so involved with them anymore. So I decided to start my own group called Ireland UFO Investigation Society, and I've got my own website.
Oh, great.
So I post up stories. People contact me through that there from Australia, from America, everywhere. And they send me the odd story, and it's a way of getting, you know, to talk to people and for me to go and meet them to see what they have, you know, what they have to say, and meet up with a couple of people every now and again. And I the last night watch I did was in Newcastle, County Down here, and about a couple of guys turned up, and basically we were just taking photographs of the night sky throughout the night. And I've got three really interesting photos. I could actually send them to you for you to have a look at.
I would love to have a look at them. Maybe you can send them to Mike.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And I will. I would absolutely love to look at them. So for the listeners, your site is called, what was it again?
Ireland UFO Investigation Society.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Afon. It's so nice to talk to you. And I absolutely love your story.
That's great. No, great talking to you.
That's our show for today. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on whatever platform you get your podcast from. It helps people like you find us. Today's show was produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions. Associate producer Colette Cooper, and recorded at Hackenbacker Studios by Oliver Briley. Theme music by Mike Hansen and Jamie Allen. Special thanks to Nigel Heath and our narrator, Mike Hansen Sr. If you want to share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@podpeopleproductions.co.uk, subject matter Alien Nation. Beam me up next time. I'm Jo Wood, and I believe.
Pod People.